Good morning. The sermon this morning is going to be something of the style I used to preach more so than I do lately probably, and that's that it's going to be comment light and scripture rich. So if you like to follow along, the passages will be posted up there, and you're welcome to do that, but your fingers are liable to get cramps by the time we're done. We will cover them all. I don't know how much time you'll have to get there if you're not paying close attention and moving to the next one as I wrap up the last one. But we're going to talk about this morning, hopefully. Let's try the other one. There we go. All right, we're going to talk about lessons from Zacchaeus. And as we look at him, I hope that we're able to learn some things about the proper response to Jesus. We're going to look at Luke 19, 1 through 10, and we're going to see if we can't learn some things from this brief encounter between a tax collector and our Lord. So if you would like to follow along, the first verse we're going to read is Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead, climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I find this tale very interesting of this encounter between Jesus and Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, very wealthy man, and to get to be chief tax collector, one can probably infer anyway that he had taken advantage of some folks. And it goes on to, like, he didn't cover that with chief tax collector. He was a rich man, it points out. The thing we can admire right off the bat, though, is it goes on to say that he sought Jesus. He heard Jesus was coming, and he went to seek him. And so he wanted to see who this Jesus was. And so we need to also be people. Okay. Try the other one again. There we go. All right. We need to be people who seek God. And that we need to be people that seek the truth, and we want to hear the gospel. So we're going to look at some verses that show us that part of becoming who we need to be, and one of the lessons we can learn from Zacchaeus is that we need to be seekers of what God wants us to know and of the kingdom. Matthew 6:33 simply says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. That needs to be our primary concern in this world, is not seeking the things of this world, but to seek the kingdom of God first. Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We need to be seeking God, seeking Jesus. Romans 10:14-17 tells us, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Again, Zacchaeus had everything. He was a rich man. He had a career that was very impressive. And yet, when he heard Jesus was coming, he sought Jesus. And that's the first step we all need to take, and one worth recognizing in Zacchaeus as we strive to adapt our lives to what they should be. Also, he made haste and came down and joyfully received Jesus. And that's the approach we need to have to the gospel, right? We need to receive the truth and believe believe the truth. We can't act upon the truth if we don't first hear it, if we don't seek it, if we don't receive it, and then believe what it says. Mark 1, 14 and 15 say this. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." We need to hear it and we need to believe it. Mark 9:23, Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Mark 16, 14 and 16. We think of this as the Great Commission often, but he points out how belief is necessary. We need to hear this gospel message and take it to heart. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." John 3:16, beautiful passage, probably ought to be in every single sermon we ever preach or hear, or every time we think of the gospel message. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." John 6:67-69, "Then Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you also want to go away?' But Simon Peter answered Him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also we have come to believe and to know that You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" Acts 16:31-34. "So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.' Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them. And he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household." Romans 3:21-26. "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time His unrighteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." We need to believe. So we look at Zacchaeus and we see someone who, in the world's eyes, already had what he needed. But in Zacchaeus' eyes, he knew someone was missing. He sought out Jesus and he heard the message and he believed. He received the message joyfully. He received Jesus joyfully. He responds by sharing what he has and restoring all the things that he might be called ill-gotten gains. If he's cheated anyone, he wants to make it right. So when I thought of this, I thought of the fact that he's doing exactly what we're called upon to do. He heard the message, he believed the message, and he's responding to the truth with repentance and good works. And that's what we need to be doing. Matthew 4:17, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Acts 2:38, when asked what they must do, Peter says, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts 17:30-31, "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because He has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising Him from the dead." Acts 26:19-20. "Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance." Mark 2:17. "Then Jesus heard it. He said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" Luke 24:46-47. "Then he said to them, 'Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem.'" 2 Corinthians 7:10, "For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death." 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Again, those things that Zacchaeus had turned to. He was repenting. He was doing good works. He was giving his money to the poor. He was restoring what he could of the things that he had gotten in an unfavorable way. Hebrews 13, 15 and 16. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifices of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Matthew 25, we won't read the whole thing. We read it frequently, or certainly I do. Matthew 25, 34 through 40. But we know that one of the ways Jesus is going to look at us when He comes back is the good things we have done for our brethren and His brethren. Whether we have provided food and clothing and visited people in their needs and that sort of thing. So let's remember all of those things that we need to be actively doing in our service to God. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. 1 Timothy 2, 8 through 10. I desire therefore that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. 1 Timothy 5, 9 and 10. Do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number, and not unless she has been the wife of one man, well reported for good works. If she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. God looks at us, and one of the filters He looks at us through is, how are we responding to the gospel message? Has it changed us? Are we letting it change us? Titus 2, 11 through 14. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. Are we zealous for good works? Titus 3:8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. And then Hebrews 10:24, what's one of the main reasons we're gathered here together this morning? Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Again, look at Zacchaeus. It's a simple story. It's a short story. Yet as we look at those few things that he did, he sought out Jesus. He accepted Him. He received Him with joy. And he changed. He repented. And Jesus came for a reason also, right? He came to seek and to save the lost, we find out. He looked up and He saw Zacchaeus, and Jesus is seeking out those who are seeking Him but are in a lost condition. He looks up, He sees Zacchaeus, and He calls him to Him, right? Luke 15, 1 through 7 tells us that all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to Him to hear Him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So He spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." Jesus is looking for the lost, and that's something that He has passed on to us to do as well. When we respond, and when we start doing these good works, and when we change our own lives, we need to be sharing this, because this is Jesus' mission, and we see that in His interaction with Zacchaeus. He loved Zacchaeus and was seeking out those who were lost. Luke 5, 29 through 32, "Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house, and there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. And their scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, 'Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I have come to call the righteous, not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" Jesus is seeking us when we are failures in this world, to turn us into repentant believers that are doing good works. He also told Zacchaeus that he needed to go to his house. So Jesus provides us opportunities. He's seeking the lost, and he provides opportunities to the lost. And so we need to be seeking opportunities to serve and to be better. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Part of the message that we need to be sharing is that Jesus wants people to come to him. He wants people to change their lives. And so he's providing opportunities, and we need to be one of those ways that he provides that opportunity. John 3:16, again, he loved the world so much that he came to seek out those people, to provide an opportunity for them so that when they believe, that they wouldn't be perish, but they would have that everlasting life. Mark 13:10, "And the gospel must first be preached to all nations." We need to get that word out there. God wanted the opportunity provided to all the lost so that they can come to know him, just as he provided that opportunity to Zacchaeus. Mark 16:15, "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." We need to be fulfilling our part and being part of the opportunity Jesus is providing to the world. Luke 4:16 through 21. "So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.' Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, 'Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" Jesus is the opportunity for something better. Jesus is the opportunity to have the good news of the gospel real in our lives, and we need to hear it, make changes, and we need to pass that on. Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek." Also, Jesus made clear to Zacchaeus on that day that salvation had come to him. So as he's giving us the gospel message, as he's providing this opportunity, Jesus provides salvations to those who respond properly to the message. And so that should be important to us. I'm going to repeat Mark 16:15 and 16. "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned.'" Do we not want to make sure that we are making people aware of the fact that they can have salvation versus condemnation? We need to be sharing that gospel message with every creature. John 10:9, Jesus says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Acts 2:21, "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Acts 4:8 through 12, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Jesus is the answer. He provides salvation. And I hope that we want everybody else to know about the salvation that's available to them. Romans 5:6-11, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2. "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." in Titus 3, 4 through 7, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And then a passage you'll never hear me read, hardly ever, John 14, 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Zacchaeus sought the Lord. He heard the Lord. He received the Lord. He believed Him. He changed his life and did good works. And the Lord had provided him a glorious opportunity to hear the gospel. He came to his house and provided him the message he needed to hear. And He provided salvation and let him know that the change he was making, that repentance he was enacting in his life, because of that, salvation had come to his house that day, because through Jesus, he recognized that his sins could be forgiven, he could make things better, he could do something different, and we need to do something different also. Jesus met Zacchaeus and changed his life forever. Jesus provides us the same opportunity for change. The gospel is for everybody. It's something that we need to share with everybody. It's something we need to not hold tight to our chest like it's a private gift for us. Jesus brought that gospel message to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus sought it out. He heard it. He listened. He changed. And he was someone who was comfortable in this world. He was someone who had a lot more than the people we may run into in this world, yet it was important enough to him when he heard that to receive it joyfully and make those changes. So we need to make sure that we're getting that gospel message out to everybody. It is for all. What are we going to do with the gospel? Will we seek it ourselves? Do we believe it? Most of us here have certainly indicated that we do, but do we let it change us on a regular basis? Do we daily think of how we need to repent of something that we're doing wrong or how we can do things better? Are we devoted to good works? Are we devoted to stirring up good works and love? Do we receive the salvation that the Lord offers? And does our life show that we do? And I hope that's the case. This morning, that's all I have. Like I say, it was comment shallow, poor, something, whatever. I hate to use the word poor in a sermon, but there weren't a lot of comments, but I think that the gospel message said it much better than I could have anyway. So hopefully the points were made, and we see how important those points were to Jesus by the sheer number of passages that address it, and obviously that was not an exhaustive list. So if anybody in the audience this morning needs to put on Christ, obviously we're ready to help you with that. But also if anybody needs to make anything right, we would be glad to do that. If you need prayers, if you need encouragement, whatever it is, we would love to help you. So if you'll just come to the front as we stand and sing.